We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Nate Bargatze, and bringing you some of the best comics that you might not know yet, but you're about to get to know them. And don't worry, they're going to be on their best behavior. We shot this live in Nashville, Tennessee at Zany's. It's the Nate Land Showcase. Please welcome your host tonight, the wonderful Brian Bates.
I have a 13-month-old. I'm an old parent. I'm trying to get in shape. My buddy Aaron Weber... We were doing a show together in Salt Lake City. He convinced me to go hiking with him. I'm like, I got to do this to get in shape. I don't hike. And we parked and had to walk to the entrance of the trail. And I was done by the time I got to the entrance. But I'm like, I got to keep going. And there was a sign at the entrance of this trail warning women not to walk alone out of fear of being attacked on this trail. And we start walking. And it's a beautiful day out there. And I know this is a weird thing to be thinking about out in nature. But we're about 30 minutes in, and I was so tired at this point, I cannot help to think, do you know how good a shape you have to be in to be able to hike a trail and attack a woman? Like, you gotta want it. Who are these people? You can't skip leg day, I'll tell you that. You gotta put in the cardio. If I try to attack a woman on a trail, it'd be like this. Wait, hang on. Just let me catch my breath. She'd be like, if you take one more step, I'm calling 911. I'd be like, yes, call 911. Call 911. Tell them where I'm at. There'd be a story on the news about a woman who saved her attacker. Trying to be a better Christian, and the story I'm about to share will show that I still have some work to do. This is a few months ago. I was going to meet my buddies to watch Monday Night Football. I was in downtown Nashville, stopped at a light. There's me and a car in front of me, and there's a homeless guy asking for money. And I'm like, I do not want to give this guy money. I know, that's the wrong attitude to take. And I thought it's going to be very awkward, just these two cars. He's going to be able to focus on us. But then to make it worse, the car in front of me rolls down his window, gives the guy money. So now I'm thinking, great. Now I'm the only guy out here who's not going to be giving this person money. But here's where my perspective changed. While I'm fretting about that, the car in front of me says, I can hear through my window, would you mind if I pray for you? And the guy comes over to his window, and they hold hands, and he starts praying. And my perspective totally changes at this point. Because I'm thinking, if this prayer goes long enough, that light will turn green. This guy's doing me a solid. But then I can hear the prayer, and now my perspective really does change because it's the most beautiful prayer I've ever heard. The homeless guy's crying. I'm on the verge of tears. Their head's bowed, and it's just so powerful and so moving. But then the light turned green, and because their heads were bowed, they didn't see it. So I honk the horn. Because I had to get to Buffalo Wild Wings for kickoff, and... Gotta get my BW. So I'm working on being a better Christian. I just got hired to do a show at a church, and they wanted an hour. And I was like, I don't know if I have an hour of church material. You can't talk about attacking women on a trail at church. But I got a baby now. I'm like, I can't be turning down gigs. I need this work. And I was talking to my buddy on the phone who does a lot of church shows. He's like, look, here's what you do, man. Here's what I do. If you get in a bind, just start sharing your testimony. Because these churches, they got to pretend like they're interested in that. And I was like, but I don't have a testimony. I mean, I'm a Christian, but I'm just one of the boring types. It's been one all my life. Day of the show rolls around, and I bomb terribly. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Let me tell you guys something. It really hurts bombing at a church. Because that's like God's disappointed in you. After 38 minutes, I am done. I am out of material. I'm thinking, I might not even get paid for this. And I don't know what came over me. I don't know, it was my friend's voice in my head. I don't know, it was the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was Satan. But I started sharing my testimony. And like I said, I don't have a testimony. So let's just say there's a little church in Mobile, Alabama that thinks I had a serious drug problem in the mid-90s. But the help of the Lord, I got out of prison. Got all these tats off my neck. Guys, I don't know where this came from. I just kept going. By the end of the night, they passed around a collection plate. I raised $350 extra. How about that? All right, guys, you ready to keep the show going? Next guy coming to the stage, very funny friend of mine. Give it up for Mike James.
Keep it going for Brian Bates. Nice crowd. Let's get into it. How many people, anybody married over 10 years? 10 years? Over 20? 30? Gets a little harder to clap at that point. 30 years. How long? 43 years. It's amazing. That is amazing. I was watching Dateline. It was a couple that were happily married for 40 years. And she stabbed him in the face. Which is crazy, right? I don't know, anyways. Congratulations on 40 years. Sure, you don't have anything to worry about. It is rough, man. I'm married. Me and my wife have been married going on 14 years. Thank you. You learn stuff about people when you're together that long. You know, I learned about my wife. I found out my wife is a bad surpriser. Yeah. Because like a good surpriser, you get people stuff they want. You don't get, you know what I mean? You don't get people stuff you think they need. Yeah. Like you're like, hey, baby, I got a trip to Tahiti coming up. That's a surprise. Yeah. Got you a PS5. That's a good surprise. Yeah. My wife got me 3 sessions to get my colon clean. Now, yeah, not sure what you know about colon cleaning, but it's a lot more aggressive than it sounds. I didn't even know how they clean your colon. I thought they just gave you an IV. So I was like, oh, I don't like needles, but that's okay. Yeah. So you can imagine my confusion when the nurse told me to lay on my side in a fetal position. When she told me to pull my underwear down, she started pulling it down. I had to tell her, ma'am, I don't know what it looks like back there. But I don't think you're going to find a vein. I'm pretty sure. Man, me and my wife, we made it through the pandemic, man. Any couples that made it through the pandemic, I salute you. That is not easy. You know, you with somebody. Because remember at the beginning of the pandemic how positive we were? It was like, maybe this is God's way of saying we need to be around the people that we love. 2 hours later, I was like, I got to get out of here. I'm about to murder somebody in here. Said divorce was up 30% during the pandemic. My wife saw that and she was like, that seems a little high. I was like, that ain't high enough. Because, I mean, I don't care how long you've been with somebody, how much you love them. At some point during the pandemic, you hated them, you know. I knew my wife hated me when she told me I breathed too much. I didn't even, you know. You know how you feel somebody looking at you out the side of your eye? I looked at her, she was just looking at me ugly, like, oh. I was like, what? She was like, why you breathe so much? I was like, I don't know, I'm trying not to die. What do you do? You know? It's a lot going on during that pandemic, man. I ended up being a teacher during the home, during that whole pandemic. I had to homeschool. Anybody have to do that? Oh, that was the worst. That was the worst. I did not go to school for this. You know? And that, look, I found out that teachers do not make enough money. They are not paid enough. You gotta, yeah. I didn't believe that at first, because before the pandemic, you know, I was like, I don't understand what they're complaining about. They got the whole summer, you know? Because, like, right before the pandemic, we had a parent-teacher conference with my son's teacher, and she said, sometimes in class, Michael does not listen. And I said, that's ridiculous. He listens to his mom and me all the time. She's not working hard enough. I felt like that. And then I had to homeschool. And then I had to call and apologize. I was like, yo, you need to come get him, because he don't listen to nothing I say. I don't know how you deal with this. It was a lot on TV, too, during the pandemic, right? Saw this one thing that was crazy. This guy needed a kidney transplant, right? But he couldn't find a donor anywhere. Nobody was a match. None of his family, none of his friends. Finally, at the last minute, he found out that his wife was a perfect match. She gave him a kidney, and he's doing great. Me and my wife saw that, like, that is amazing. Then my wife said, I hope nothing like that ever happens to you. No, she was cool. She was like, I hope nothing like that happens to you, but if it does, I pray that I can be the one to give you a kidney. I know, I was like, that's sweet, but I would rather die. That was our worst nightmare, fellas, to have your woman give you a vital organ. You think you gotta hear her mouth now? Let her give you a kidney. Soon as she walk in the house, she's gonna be talking crazy. You know what, you didn't even wash the dishes. Oh my God, you know what? You don't appreciate nothing I do. You ain't nothing. Your kidneys ain't nothing. And I gave you one of my kidneys, and this is how you act. You know what? Just give my kidney back, because you don't know how to act right. You watched a lot of stuff. Started rewatching some of my favorite shows, like Game of Thrones is one of my favorite shows. And my wife had never seen that, so I thought this was something we could watch together. So we started watching, having a good time, I thought, until she said something that made me question our relationship. If you've never seen this show, it's an episode where this woman has three dragon eggs, and she walks in a fire. And the next morning, the fire's out, she's not burnt, three dragon eggs have hatched, three dragons are walking around. My wife, I should tell you, is also the mother of my kids. Looked at me with a straight face. She was like, man, that's fake. I said, what tipped you off? You know? She was serious. She was like, how is she gonna walk in a fire and not get burned? I said, wait, hold on. That's the part that messed you up? You ain't see all these dragons flying? You need to pay attention, girl. We got kids. You know? We got kids, man. You gotta pay attention to that. We got a 12-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter. They're in school, and I'm gonna be honest, with them being in school makes me a little nervous. I hated school because I got picked on a lot when I was in school. I don't want my kids dealing with that. You know, I was an awkward-looking kid coming up, just so you know. I was like real skinny. I had these real thick glasses. I used to hear I was ugly constantly. You know. 7th grade was the absolute worst. No, this is the worst. I actually heard this. I heard, you know, if you wasn't so skinny and if you didn't have those glasses on, and if you wasn't so ugly, you could be my boyfriend. Yeah, that's messed up. Okay, appreciate it. It's like, I'm gonna laugh at this trauma. Huh? That still bothers me to this day, man. It does, man. I'm gonna tell you why it still bothers me, all right? It's because the dude that said it to me. was a teacher, and I really don't feel like that's. Like, he's supposed to be building me up, not tearing me down, sir. Hey, thank y'all so much. I'm Mike James.
Mike James, everybody. Guys, keep that energy going for the next comic coming to the stage. Please give it up for Karen Mills.
Oh, thank you so much. I do want to make sure that you are listening and you do realize that I'm not Ellen. I hear it all the time. Looks like Ellen, talks like Reba. Well, it's so great to be here. I do spend so much time on the road, and there's always the craziest things happens in my travels. I was working in Indiana, just across the Kentucky line off Interstate 65. Right there's where the time zone changes. And I forgot to ask where my show was, if they were on Central Time or Eastern Time. Well, I had to run into Walmart anyway, so I just grabbed a woman in the store, and I said, are you on Central Time or Eastern Time? She said, I don't work here. But I do have to admit that traveling's got to be a little bit more of a challenge now that I've gotten a little age on me, and because we have to use so many public restrooms. So now I always carry with me antibacterial wipes so I can clean the seat because I no longer have the thighs to hover. I wish they put one of those handicap bars on the back of the door. Give me something I can work with. But I am starting to worry about myself. One day I pulled up to the drive-thru at SunTrust Bank, and the teller said, how may I help you? And I said, I need to pick up my prescription. And the second it came out of my mouth, I realized where I was. Said, and I was wondering if you'd run down to Walgreens to get it for me. I mean, you're the one always bragging about customer service. And I tell you this, if you've got a prescription ready at Walgreens, somebody better go get it, or they'll blow up your phone like a jilted lover. It's like Fatal Attraction. Somebody's sitting in the corner speed dialing people. I'm not going to be ignored. And I have literally been digging through my purse, looking for my cell phone while I was talking on it. I can't find my phone. I don't know what I've done with my phone. My friend goes, well, just talk to me on this one till you find it. And I was reading that in the near future, in Japan, they're going to have a phone that you implant into your hand. Hello? Hey, can you hang on a second? I have another call coming in. Hello? And everyone is wireless. One day I'm waiting for the elevator. Elevator doors open. Guy goes, hey. I said, hey. He goes, how you doing? I said, I'm good. He goes, I'm on the phone. I said, I am too. But I found a way to really make that work for me. I ran into a girl, went to high school with, she came running over, and she went, Karen. I said, Kathy. And she said, no. She said, I'm Sarah. I said, I'm on the phone. And whenever I'm talking to my mom on my cell phone, if I drop the call and I call her back, she's in a panic. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, well, yeah, I just lost my signal. And she's like, oh, Lord, that scared me to death. I was afraid somebody had knocked you in the head. She's always worrying about that. Don't stop at a rest area at night. Somebody will knock you in the head. You better lock your doors tight. Somebody break in on you and knock you in the head. I'm surprised we don't hear more about that on the news. Last night, 15 people got knocked in the head. One was just talking on her cell phone. And I told my mom I was doing that bit. I went through the whole thing for her, and she looked at me and didn't crack a smile. She said, well, I don't see anything funny about getting knocked in the head. But it's kind of a double standard because I tell her, I'm fine, stop worrying. But if I've called my parents for several hours and nobody answers and I'm on the phone to my brother and what in the world's happened to mom and dad? They didn't say they were going anywhere. Where in the world could they be? Then we both take off down to their house, start looking for clues. In a little while, here they come. They've been at the funeral home. Ran into people they hadn't seen in a while. Got to socializing. Eating fried chicken off the death buffet. I said, yeah, well, you need to let somebody know if you're going to be out late. I thought somebody had knocked you in the head. And my mom thinks the voicemail lady is real. One day she called, and as soon as I answered, she said, I called your telephone earlier, and some lady said your voicemail was full, and you couldn't take any more messages. You tell her you can always take another message when your mother calls. I said, okay, I'll tell her. A few minutes, she called back and said, no, don't say anything. Said, I wouldn't want her to lose her job. But technology is a lot to keep up with, and there are cyber spies everywhere. They know everything you buy, everything you search for, everything you click on. I went to weather.com, J. Crew popped up. All I wanted was the temperature. Bought this blazer. But the worst part of being on the road so much is that I miss my animals. Right now I have 3 dogs, and they take every step I take throughout the house. When I go to the bathroom, I have 3 dogs. I have a little chihuahua going, pick me up, pick me up, pick me up. And a terrier dropping a ball on my feet going, throw the ball, throw the ball, throw the ball. And an overweight cocker spaniel twerking up to me going, scratch my bottom, scratch my bottom. But I know I am a crazy dog lady, but I come by it honest. I mean, everyone in my family, we have all ground our teeth down to nubs talking baby talk to dogs. When I was growing up, we had a dachshund, and my dad is not a touchy-feely kind of guy. He used to come home after work, look at us and go, hey, and then grab that dachshund and go, what the baby doing? What'd the baby do today? Did that baby chase a squirrel? Did the baby chase a squirrel? I'm sitting there thinking, maybe I should start chasing squirrels. But I love all animals, and I recently had an amazing experience. I was down in Miami, and I swam with the dolphins. It was so cool. Well, actually, it was only one dolphin, and that was a former dolphin. But it was life-changing. I had a similar experience with a saint. And the other day I was watching this nature documentary, and I learned some very fascinating facts. Did you know the only 2 species on planet Earth to go through menopause are female humans and killer whales? And I'm guessing they weren't killer whales until after they went through it. I'm sure they were fun, outgoing whales with full lips and a good metabolism. And once the female goes through menopause, she then becomes the leader of the pod. I'm guessing it's not voted on. I'm sure she just makes an announcement. Gonna be some changes up in here. And did you know that a female dragonfly will fake her own death to avoid an unwanted sexual encounter? She will literally float down from the sky and lie motionless on the ground until her suitor leaves. Ladies, show hands where my dragonflies. Now, I've gotten some really hateful comments from men about that joke. So let me just break it down. The documentary said she will fake her death to avoid an unwanted sexual encounter, unwanted being the key word. It went on to say that when she met a desirable mate, she'd drop her top and throw her wings over her head. Hey, I'm Karen Mills. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Karen Mills, everybody! Guys, keep that energy going for your next comic come to the stage. Very funny guy. Give it up for Andrew Stanley!
Oh, thank you guys so much. It is good to be doing stand-up in Nashville. I come from a preacher family. My grandfather and my dad, both preachers, and I do this. So close. I think this is just a more fun version of preaching. I don't have to baptize anybody. That's gross. I am not trying to get in a hot tub with some sinner. If they're washing it off, I don't want it floating over to me. I am not trying to catch the reason they're here. But no, I do admire them a lot. I think that stand-up is easier than preaching, for sure. Because as a comedian, you can kind of talk about whatever you want. My dad, every Sunday, has to just do a new book report about the same book every week for the rest of his life. And people send him mean emails about it all the time. They'll be like, this Easter service sounds a lot like the one from a few years ago. He'll just be like, yeah, sorry, the material has not changed. You can't just add your own stuff. You know, the author's always listening. He has a violent history, so we got to be careful. But we had very sheltered childhoods as preacher's kids. Like, I was not allowed to watch a lot of the movies and TV shows my friends were watching. Like, I wasn't allowed to watch anything where the kids are disrespectful to their parents. So we did not watch any television at all. The only shows we were allowed to watch were, like, the really old TV shows. Like, my favorite show growing up was Bonanza. Are Bonanza fans in Nashville? You don't... Yeah, I bet. You don't make a lot of friends in public high school just walking around like, hey, did you guys catch Bonanza yesterday? They're all just like, I think we got vaccinated for that. I'm pretty sure I had Bonanza as a child, so... Why don't you take your rolling backpack and head on out of here? I had a rolling backpack for one day of public high school. That is as long as they let you have it. But it's fun. The big thing, though, we were not allowed to watch anything in our house that had, like, an inappropriate scene in it. You know, so, but sometimes there'd be a movie my dad still wanted us to be able to watch that would have, like, one bad scene in it. So for the parents here tonight, what's your move if you're watching something with your kids and a bad scene comes on? You cover their eyes. Yep, that's good. Just let them listen to it. That's just good parenting. We got... He's like, all right, buddy, you got to really use your imagination for this one, I guess. You got to... You know, every year you get older, we're just going to crack our fingers a little bit more, and then eventually you'll be a man, and that'll count as the talk. My dad did not do that. He came up with his own solution. He would get the DVD of the movie, he would rip it into his computer, he would put it into editing software, he would cut out the bad scenes, edit the rest of the movie back together, and put it on my video iPod. It would take him 4 days per movie. But he loved me a lot. He did not want me to see that stuff. So much so, he was willing to commit a felony. Which that is. But then I was a kid. I got all these awesome movies on my iPod with these really weird cuts. I'd just be watching like, oh, I bet that was a good one. But now as an adult, looking back, I can't help but think that somewhere on my dad's computer, there's a folder. It has all the missing scenes from my movies in it. That's what I do when I go home now. I try to find that folder before the documentary crew does. So... I got run over by a car when I was a little boy. I don't have a good transition for this one. It's a lot like when you get run over by a car as a little boy. You don't see it coming. I don't know. That's as good as I can do. My babysitter ran over me with her car when I was 10. Bad day at our house. Not great. Not the worst babysitter we ever had, though. We had terrible babysitters growing up. My parents, I think they were just ladies from the church that would volunteer to babysit us for free. And I was like, Mom, I think that might be more of a red flag than a blessing. There was one lady. She would make my brother and my sister and I lay on top of the bed with her and make us all look at our feet together. She'd hear the car pull out of the driveway. She'd be like, all right, everybody, up on the bed, take off your shoes and socks. And she'd say, put your feet with my feet. And she'd be like, look at our feet. She'd be like, are you looking at? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm looking at them. She'd say, one day we'll do this again, but your feet will be bigger than mine. And won't that just be a fun way for us to all monitor the passage of time in our lives together? And I was 8 years old, and even then, I was just like, no! When I'm bigger than you, we are not going to do weird stuff like this. This is so weird. I don't even know what weird means yet, but I know my friends that I don't have would do that, would not do this with their babysitters. I'm pretty sure when I tell my mom and dad about this, we are never going to see you again. And if I exaggerate just a little bit, you're going to go to jail. And you can compare your feet with whoever you want there. I think they do that. But the one who ran over me was pretty bad. What happened was I was 10. My little brother and I were playing in the front yard. We were playing with guns in the front yard, playing cowboy guns. And I remember my parents had come home. So it was time for Catherine, our babysitter, to leave. So she was backing down our driveway. And I realized from across the yard that I left my toy gun laying in the driveway, and she was headed for it. So I ran across the yard, I laid down, I reached out, I grabbed my gun, like the good cowboy that I was, and Catherine rolled over my arm with her back right tire. Everybody started screaming. You know, my dad came outside. He was like, what happened? Our other babysitter's hiding in the bushes, like, at least it wasn't his feet. The precious feet. She would have dove in front of the car if it had been headed for my feet. So my dad's like, what happened? I'm like, Catherine ran over me with her car. And my brother's like, Catherine tried to kill Andrew again. And we'd had some history. And I was like, Dad, take me to the emergency room. And he said, well, let me see it. And I said, no, it was with a real car. I want a real doctor. And he said, well, you were wearing a sweatshirt, so should be good. And I was like, Dad, I don't think that's how Under Armour works. I think it behaves a lot like other fabrics when it's run over by vehicles. I had to convince them to take me to the emergency room. I thought that Catherine was going to have to drive me. Did not feel appropriate. But they finally took me. I got an x-ray. It turns out my arm was not broken. It just got mushed a little bit. I guess the sweatshirt did its job. He's right about everything. So next Sunday night, guess who was back to babysit at our house? You got to break a bone to get fired from our family. But she became my favorite babysitter because after that, I could do whatever I want. if you run over a kid, they call the shots. From then on, she'd be like, Andrew, it's time to go to bed. And I'd be like, okay, Catherine, can I read you a poem that I wrote first? I wrote you a poem today. It's roses are red, violets are blue, just like my arm was after you ran over it with your Civic. Yeah, turn on Bonanza and get me a beer. And she didn't last very long after that. But you guys are great. Thank you so much. My name's Andrew Stanley. Thanks for coming.
Andrew Stanley, everybody! All right, guys, that's our show. Give it up for all the comics you saw tonight. I'm Ron Bates. Thank y'all so much for coming out, everybody. Have a good night. Drive safe.
This Father's Day, celebrate the one who's always been your rock with a gift of comfort from Minky Couture. Whether he's relaxing after a long day, watching the game, or sneaking in that well-earned nap, nothing says thank you like the luxury of a Minky blanket. Soft, stylish, strong, just like Dad. Visit MinkyCouture.com or stop by a store near you and give Dad the comfort he truly deserves. Minky Couture, because even heroes need to rest.